Hello and welcome to Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 14th of July 2008, brought to you by azonano.com. My name is Stuart Cameron. In this edition of Azo Nano News, as well as bringing you the latest news from the international nanotechnology industry, we'll hear how medical researchers have discovered nano-sized, naturally occurring engines, how nanomaterials are the best candidates yet in the race to build an effective hydrogen storage system, and we'll hear about a new imaging system that can detect nanoparticles inside cells. In this week's Azo Nano interview, Cameron Chai speaks to the president of Asylum Research, Roger Proksch. These stories and more in this edition of Azo Nano News. A newly developed nano-sized electronic device is an important step towards helping astronomers see invisible light dating from the creation of the universe. This invisible light makes up 98% of the light emitted since the Big Bang and may provide insights into the earliest stages of star and galaxy formation, almost 14 billion years ago. The tiny new circuit, developed by physicists at Rutgers University, NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California, and the State University of New York at Buffalo, is 100 times smaller than the thickness of a human hair. It's sensitive to faint traces of light in the far infrared spectrum, where the longest of the infrared wavelengths exist, well beyond the colours that humans can see. In the expanding universe, the earliest stars move away from us at a speed approaching the speed of light, and as a result, their light is strongly red-shifted when it reaches us, appearing infrared. Because the Earth's atmosphere strongly absorbs far infrared light, Earth-based radio telescopes can't detect the very faint light emitted by these stars. So scientists are proposing a new generation of space telescopes to gather this light. Yet, to take full advantage of space-borne telescopes, detectors that capture the light will have to be far more sensitive than any that exist today. NASA's Phoenix Mars lander has finally used the onboard atomic force microscope from NanoSurf. This Swiss-made microscope builds an image of the surface of a particle by sensing it with a sharp tip at the end of a spring, all microfabricated from a sliver of silicon. The sensor rides up and down following the contour of the surface, providing information. The first touch of an atomic force microscope tip to a substrate on the microscopy station's sample presentation wheel served as a validation test. The substrate will be used to hold soil particles in place for inspection by the microscope. The microscope's first imaging began Wednesday and produced a calibration image of a grooved substrate. With these developments, the spacecraft has put to use all the capabilities of its microscopy, electrochemistry, and conductivity analyzer, or MECA, suite of instruments. Researchers have begun analysing data this week from the second sample of soil tested by MECA's Wet Chemistry Laboratory. Researchers at the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine has discovered that the activity of a specific family of nanometer-sized molecular motors called myosin L is regulated by force. The motor puts tension on the cellular springs that allow vibrations to be detected in the body. This finely tuned regulation has important implications for understanding a wide variety of basic cellular processes, including hearing and balance and glucose uptake in response to insulin. This is the first demonstration that myosin L shows such dramatic sensitivity to tension. Myosin L is a biological motor that uses the chemical energy made by cells to ferry proteins within cells and to generate force, powering the movement of molecular cargos in nearly all cells. In two specific cases, myosin L puts tension on the specialized spring-like structures in human ears that enable hearing and maintenance of balance, and also has a role in delivering the proteins that pump glucose into cells in response to insulin. However, why a tension-sensing molecular motor is needed for this function is unknown. Researchers from the US Department of Energy's Brookhaven National Laboratory and Stony Brook University have developed a new instrument that allows them to control the size of nanoclusters, groups of 10 to 100 atoms, with atomic precision. They created a model nanocatalyst of molybdenum sulfide, the first step in developing the next generation of materials to be used in hydrodesulfurization, a process that removes sulfur from natural gas and petroleum products to produce pollution. The scientists made size-selected molybdenum sulfide nanoclusters as gaseous ions and then gently deposited the clusters on a gold surface. The nanoclusters interact weakly with the gold support and therefore remain intact. With this new instrument, researchers can control how many and what type of atoms are in a nanocluster, knowledge that enables them to make nanoclusters with predetermined size, structure and chemical composition, all of which are important in the design of new catalysts. Using a miniature laboratory on a chip device, a team of investigators at the Massachusetts General Hospital has developed a method that detects and analyzes the genetic signature of rare tumor cells in the bloodstream. The results from this analysis allowed the researchers to identify those patients most likely to respond to a specific targeted treatment. This chip-based analysis also allows the researchers to monitor genetic changes that occur during therapy. Circulating tumor cells, or CTCs, are living solid tumor cells found at extremely low levels in the bloodstream. Until the development of the CTC chip, it was not possible to get information from CTCs that would be useful for clinical decision-making. The current study was designed to determine whether the device could go beyond detecting CTCs to helping analyze the genetic mutations that can make a tumor sensitive to treatment with targeted therapy drugs. Borrowing from a Nobel Prize-winning technique credited with starting the nanotechnology revolution, a team of researchers from Oak Ridge National Laboratory and Northwestern University's Nanomaterials for Cancer Diagnostics and Therapeutics has developed a method for imaging nanoparticles inside of cells. This technique should prove useful for studies of nanomaterials toxicology, as well as those designed to improve nanoparticle-based drug delivery. Researchers at ORNL teamed with a research group at Northwestern to probe the fate of individual nanoparticles inside of cells. The researchers had earlier developed a modified form of scanning electron microscope, the Nobel Prize-winning invention that uses nanoscale cantilevers as ultrasonic probes that can create a holographic image of a rapidly vibrating soft object lying beneath the cantilever as it scans that object. This new form of nanometer resolution microscopy is known as scanning near-field ultrasonic holography, or SNFUH. And the research group has used it to generate detailed three-dimensional maps of soft objects. Quantum dots are specially engineered nanoscale crystals of semiconductor compounds. The name comes from the fact that their infinitesimal size enables a quantum electronics effect that causes the crystals to fluoresce brilliantly at specific, sharply defined colors. Bright, stable, tiny, and tunable across a broad spectrum of colors, quantum dots that are engineered to attach themselves to particular proteins have become a popular research tool in areas such as cancer research for detecting, labeling, and tracking specific biomarkers and cells. Materials researchers at the National Institute of Standards and Technology have now developed a simplified, low-cost process for producing high-quality, water-soluble quantum dots for biomedical applications. By using a laboratory microwave reactor to promote the synthesis of the widely used nanomaterials, the NIST process avoids a problematic step in the conventional approach to making quantum dots, resulting in brighter, more stable dots. In cooperation with the US co-workers, CAS researchers recently discovered a new nanomaterial with high-capacity hydrogen storage. Because of their promising prospects for hydrogen storage, carbon-based nanomaterials are in the spotlight of the global community of physics over the past decade. However, the poor absorption of hydrogen molecules on the surface of the materials hinders their practical use under room temperature and pressure. To overcome this technical snag, scientists have contrived many methods to modify the carbon-based materials, including coating the surfaces with transition or alkali metals to substitutionally dope the nanostructures with light elements. Still, the resultant effects are unsatisfactory. Researchers have recently concentrated their research attention on the coating of C60 fullerenes with light alkaline earth metals, resulting in the most promising developments to date. Chemical and environmental engineering professor Yushan Yan is part of a multidisciplinary team working to develop an electronic nose, an ultra-sensitive sensor system that is designed to quickly detect trace quantities of explosives in high-traffic, high-risk security areas such as airports. Currently, many explosives are found by dogs and other animals with highly sensitive olfactory sensors. Developing an efficient handheld device has been a challenge because volatile explosive vapors found in large open spaces are present at low concentrations that range from parts per billion or even parts per trillion. Yan and his team are working to develop an ultra-thin molecular sieving membrane that will be part of the handheld sensor that lead researcher Yu Lei, an assistant professor from the University of Connecticut, is working concurrently to design. The membrane will have pores the size of a fraction of a nanometer, which will allow nitrogen and oxygen to pass through, but will trap larger molecules, including those of explosive vapors such as TNT, on its surface. A new treatment strategy using molecular smart bombs to target metastasis with anti-cancer drugs is yielding good results using significantly lower doses of toxic chemotherapy, with less collateral damage to surrounding tissue. By designing a nanoparticle drug delivery system, a University of California San Diego team has identified a way to target chemotherapy to achieve a profound impact on metastasis in pancreatic and kidney cancer in mice. The research team report that a nanoparticle carrying a payload of chemotherapy homes in on a protein marker found on the surface of certain tumor blood vessels, where it's associated with development of new blood vessels and malignant tumor growth. The team found that the nanoparticle drug combination didn't have much impact on primary tumors, but stopped pancreatic and kidney cancers from metastasizing throughout the bodies of mice. They showed that a greatly reduced dosage of chemotherapy can achieve the desired effect because the drug selectively targets the specific blood vessels that feed the cancerous lesions and kills the lesions without destroying surrounding tissue. The destruction of healthy tissue is a side effect when chemotherapy is administered systemically, flooding the body with cancer-killing toxins. In this week's AzoNano interview, Cameron Chai speaks to the president of Asylum Research, Roger Proksch, about their piezo response microscope and high voltage module for AFMs. In this interview, Cameron finds out what these new instruments can do and all about unique aspects of their design.
This is Cameron Chai from azom.com, and I've got Roger Proksch, president of Asylum Research, with me today. How are you doing today, Roger?
Good, Cameron.
Tell me, Roger, what do Asylum Research do?
We manufacture atomic force microscopes.
And you've been doing this for how long?
Since 1999, so about 8.5 years.
You've got something new today, that you've got a couple of new things here today. You've got the piezo force response microscope, or PFM.
That's correct. Piezo force microscopy has been around for a while. What we've done here is add a few features that make it easier, and then expand the range of materials you can look at.
And what's special about your particular device?
Well, it turns out that in sort of conventional PFM, there's a number of effects that have caused difficulties in the interpretation in the past, and this involves crosstalk between the topography and the piezo response signal. So one of the things we've been working on very hard in the last couple of years is to decouple those two things. The software module enables you to do that by using the contact resonance to track changes in the contact resonance frequency, which then gives you information about the sample stiffness as well as the piezo response, the polarization of the sample.
So using this, the people can get more or improved, more accurate information about their materials?
Exactly. So by using the contact resonance, it becomes much more sensitive, maybe a factor of 100 more than conventional PFM, and you get information about both the dissipation and the local stiffness of the sample.
So, and you've got another new device here, the high voltage module. What can you tell me about that one?
So one of the other things that you want to be able to do with these piezo materials is you want to be able to apply in a large electric field. And so conventionally, you know, typically in the past, I would say people apply plus or minus 10 volts, at least on commercial systems. What we've done here is move it up to about 220 volts, plus or minus. And so what that does is that even piezo materials that are very weak now can be excited with this.
And what sort of new information can people gain from using one of these modules?
Well, there's a lot of applications for it. Of course, there's ferroelectric memories and so on that are sort of exciting. I would say the most new and most exciting field to us is the field of biological electromechanics. And in that case, these piezo materials are often very weak, so they have very, very small coefficients. But now with these new tools, we're able to get more information about these the response here. So that's actually quite exciting.
And you're also talking about applications in solid-state memory. That's always a dynamic field to be involved in.
Yeah, and it's anybody's guess whether that's going to take off or not. It's certainly we'd love to see it because we have a nice tool for measuring it. But whether it will or not is not up to me.
All right then, Roger. Sounds like you've got some interesting new devices here, and no doubt you've got more in the pipeline that we can talk about at a later date.
Sounds good.
All right, Roger, thanks very much for your time.
All right, thanks, Cameron.
AzoNano Business News. SUS Microtech Incorporated, a leading supplier of process and test solutions for the semiconductor industry, has announced a suite of processing tools that enable new generations of microelectromechanical systems has been selected for SVTC Technologies facility in Austin, Texas. As a key supplier to SVTC, SUS also will provide joint development and support for processes and tooling. The SUS toolsets at SVTC include manual and automated platforms to perform lithography and bonding, two of the critical process steps in the creation of MEMS devices. SVTC, a leading independent semiconductor process development foundry, will use these tools to provide process solutions and a prototyping foundry for emerging MEMS and other devices. Manhattan Scientifics has announced that it has acquired Metallicum Incorporated and its licensed patented technology. The lightweight nanometals the company will produce will have the potential to revolutionize a whole range of industries, from transportation to healthcare. This merger is another great example of how national laboratories can partner with the private sector and create vital jobs while meeting some of the US nation's most pressing needs. Agilent Technologies Incorporated today announced that it has acquired the Nano Instruments business unit of MTS Systems Corp. The acquisition will strengthen Agilent's portfolio of instrumentation for imaging, characterization, and quantifying nanomechanical material properties. Based in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, Nano Instruments is a leading supplier of nano indentation systems and related equipment, as well as supporting software. Industrial Nanotech Incorporated, an emerging global leader in nanotechnology, has announced that sales of the company's patented energy-saving and mold-resistant product for homes and buildings, Nansulate Home Protect, continue to increase exponentially worldwide as energy costs skyrocket. Ascent Solar Technologies Incorporated, a developer of state-of-the-art thin-film photovoltaic materials, announced today that the U.S. Air Force Research Laboratory has selected Ascent Solar for a broad agency announcement award to develop high-performance thin-film multi-junction photovoltaics based on Ascent Solar's flexible, monolithically integrated SIGS technology. The new contract represents approximately $1.5 million in value over a 48-month period. App Nanomaterials Incorporated, a provider of nanotechnology-based products, today announced a major breakthrough in the production of the company's unique inorganic tungsten disulfide nanotubes in industrial quantities. The synthetic route developed opens new doors to large-scale production of such nanotubes for a variety of commercial markets. The inorganic nanotubes have exhibited revolutionary chemical and physical properties that enable a wide range of applications. Well, that was AzoNano News for the week commencing the 14th of July, 2008. If you have any nano courses, events or exhibitions you'd like to promote to a global nanotech audience, don't forget you can list them for free at azonano.com. To read expanded versions of the stories you've heard about in this podcast, or to stay in touch with the world of nanotechnology, please visit www.azonano.com. If you'd like to send us feedback or let us know about nanotechnology news in your part of the world, please email us at podcast@azonano.com. I'm Stuart Cameron. Thanks for listening. Yeah.